The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Wake up, today. Wake up, it's a new day.
Good morning again, and welcome to Morning Glen Business on this Monday, January 17th, 2022. Once again, I'm Dwight Strawn, joined by Pamela Musgrove, and this morning we continue our discussion about the World Expo 2020 and what's happening there. All right, so before we get to our guests this morning, I just want to get through some more of your messages about it. It is unfortunately become a controversial matter, but a lot of people do not seem to know much about what is happening out there in Dubai. World Expo, 6 months long. The Bahamas has been there from the beginning. And today is the Bahamian Day, the Bahamas Day, the one day when the focus is on the Bahamas, and it'll go back to being a Bahamas Pavilion, and people can come in to see it after today. But we'll talk about that in a bit. Just wanted to get through some more of your messages and what we had promised before about the what the opposition is saying about calling for accountability on this trip. Take a listen to this report, again from our Jared Higgs.
A Free National Movement member of parliament is slamming the government over the decision to send a delegation of over 100 people to Dubai for the World Expo. A government spokesperson says the trip will help to promote the country and attract investment, but St. Anne's MP Adrian White says the spending was in poor judgment.
It's just excessive. Sending over 100 people there, the figures that I'm getting.
FNM MP Adrian White calling the government out over the size of the delegation sent to Dubai's World Expo. A statement released by the Office of the Prime Minister revealed that Cabinet approved up to $1 million to support the presence of the Bahamas at the Expo, along with a private sector donation of $500,000. The OPM statement also notes that the previous Cabinet approved $1.7 million for the event. Some of the participants on this trip include a Junkanoo Group, the Royal Bahamas Police Force Band, the Bahamas All-Stars Band, and Shabak Choir, which is led by Press Secretary in the Office of the Prime Minister, Clint Watson.
It's an unnecessary burden on the taxpayer right now, especially when we've seen these impacts of increased prices on milk and other bread basket items. It slaps me as offensive. And I think that right now this is just a victory lap that is in complete poor judgment.
Director of Communications in the Office of the Prime Minister, Latre Raming, released a video statement on Friday afternoon where he sought to justify the investment at the Dubai Expo, highlighting the previous government's approval of funds for the Expo and trips made by former FNM ministers to Dubai. The trip drew mixed reactions from Bahamians, with some agreeing with White and questioning the size of the delegation. Others suggested that the money was well spent because it was spent on Bahamians.
We definitely have a lot to show the world. Those that are interested already see it when we perform on the Olympic stage, when we perform in cinema. I know Sir Sidney Poitier recently passed, was brought up, and we have our Olympians that continue to excel at a per capita rate around the world. But sending the amount of persons that we sent is too many.
White says he's happy for the people that got to go, but disagrees with the way government is spending taxpayer dollars.
as a Bahamian, I would love to get a trip to Dubai. I would love to go to Dubai, see that part of the world, represent my country. But we have to be sensible in the numbers that we send. We have to be clear on the message that we're conveying, not only at home, but to the world. And right now, Omicron is on the rise, and we're sending over 100 people across the globe, multiple airports, multiple hotel beds. God forbid if someone has to be quarantined because they catch the case in Dubai and they're away from their family for that reason.
Okay. All right, Jared Hicks with that report there. I don't know if I agree with a lot of what he said. I don't think that's right. I think people are, some will say this might not be big enough. And that we did not invest enough. And to say that we showcase ourselves to the world enough on the Olympic stage, what? Okay. Boy. Okay. Now let's read some of these messages, and then we'll talk with our guests. This person here says, the former prime minister said he and the cabinet weren't going to Dubai because he didn't think it was a good investment. So I guess kudos to our prime minister for going. Plus, this might increase investments and investments and tourism, hopefully. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, he could say that now. I don't know if that is what was going to happen.
But ministers have traveled there, right, for this occasion or to have talks about this occasion under the former administration, right?
I'm not too sure.
I thought the report said that ministers had traveled to Dubai.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, maybe they did.
See, don't leave it to might.
Mm-hmm.
We might get some
mm-hmm.
investors. We have to be deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you need broad-based consultation so the best is out there. So at the end of the day, we get something.
Mm.
It shouldn't be might or we hope. It should be we've so researched this that at the end of this,
mm-hmm.
we can see where this is going to be positive for us.
Well, I mean,
actual numbers.
Can you do that?
Tangible.
Especially when there are other countries right next door to you also trying to do the same thing? Is that possible?
Yes.
To say a definite that this is definitely going to work?
Yeah, because if you plan it properly.
Yeah. Okay.
But if you leave it just to chance, yeah, mm-hmm. it will be might.
Yeah. This person says here, why didn't we send the National Youth Choir or other folk singers like the Dicey Doe Singers? Also, why did we send Miss Daisy, who acts like a drunk, to represent us? Is this the image we want to portray? Another one. I hope Gino D, Gene Davis, and Fred Ferguson are there in Dubai. No one plays guitar like Fred. Everything is still political. Nothing changed. Yikes. Do you think if we were to get one big investment from Dubai and a few from elsewhere, the trip would be worth it? I await the report of likely investments from the expo shortly. Mm-hmm. And another one here. Weren't we told that the former administration planned the Dubai trip and the new administration cut the numbers of those traveling from what was originally planned? Well, we'll find out in a bit. All right, that's... this one says, only the FNM making noise. I'm very happy with all those who made the trip. Qualified to represent the country. Yes, there's a lot of back and forth on it. All right, so let's get directly from the organizing committee here on what's going on. I think we have them. Yes, yeah. We are very pleased to welcome Janet Johnson with the Tourism Development Corporation on the show this morning. Janet, are you there? Yes, I know it's out there in Dubai. Good morning, Janet. Can you hear us?
I am not Janet,
oh, okay.
But I can speak for Janet.
Oh, there you go. Michael Diggis. Good morning, sir. All right, so is it
how are you?
Great to talk to you. We've been talking to you for months, and we've been talking to you in Dubai for months because you've been
yes.
there for a long time and back and forth. And but great
yes.
to talk with you.
Yes.
Is it just you joining us this morning all the way there?
No, Janet is here.
Janet is there.
She just stepped out for a sec.
Okay.
She was the one who actually reminded me to give you guys an update on what's happening with
excellent.
Our National Day.
Thank you so much.
You know, you've been with us from the beginning, and I appreciate that.
Yes, we've been talking for a while, and but unfortunately, it seems a lot of people aren't aware of how much planning has been going on. This you used to have a show here on Guardian Radio, Blueprint for Change.
Oh, yeah.
You were talking about this how many years ago now? 4 or 5 years?
Six years. It's been 6 years.
My goodness. All right, so let's clear this up. Let's your position at the Bahamas Pavilion. State that again for everyone to hear.
So my initial position was senior project manager, and I guess I got a recent promotion to deputy commissioner general, I guess because of my persistence in this effort. And Janet is a director with the Bahamas Pavilion. So I guess we both toiled through this 6 year journey together.
Yeah. Wow.
And today was the culmination.
Yeah.
Yes. And the PM actually made that point that after this length of time, and I must say, and I've been kind of indirectly listening to all of the controversy, which I find fascinating because for years, as you know, Dwight, no one was paying attention to us working preparing. Right. Now everyone is paying attention.
Isn't that something? That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes.
Yeah, which is good. So even bad publicity is good. You know, at least some people are paying attention finally to the fact that, you know, the Bahamas is here. And I will tell you, it would have been a shame not to be here because even, I mean, I was taken aback when just the reaction the people had to the Junkanoo parade that occurred this afternoon. It was incredible. I mean, of all the countries that participated, the Bahamas had the greatest performers. And I'm not just being biased in saying that, but I think the reaction of the people here demonstrated the fact that for such a small nation, we've had a major impact on this event.
All right. So let's...
Go ahead.
Let's do this, Michael, because apparently, sadly, we're going to have to go back over what this whole thing is about. And so let's go to what the expo, the aim of the expo is, and then we'll talk about what the day, the country day does. Let's get to it. This was supposed to be held last year, but of course, the pandemic.
Let's
talk about it. What is the objective of World Expo 2020?
Well, this particular World Expo, unlike any other, because usually World Expos is about showcasing innovation, creativity. It's like the World Olympics of innovation and technology. But Dubai decided that they are going to add another element, which is the people element and legacy. So their theme, Connecting Minds to Create the Future, is really all about countries and peoples and businesses and corporations and entities getting together. They have this thing they call the majlis, which is public conversations about ideas. And out of those conversations come new industries, innovations. And it's amazing that that is naturally happening here. People or businesses or companies or countries who normally would not have had interaction are actually interacting and talking about a new future. And it's amazing what Dubai is able to achieve. It's actually going to change the world. This expo is going to have a significant impact on how we relate to each other as world citizens. And I think even for the Bahamas, many people, we take it for granted that people know about the Bahamas, but in this part of the world, many people do not know about the Bahamas. So now, many people do know about the Bahamas because of our presence here.
Yeah.
We've made an impact. And I will tell you, through our pavilion, it's not a booth. It's a two-story building, 7,500 square feet. And through that same building, showcasing the Bahamas, up until about November of last year, we had 250,000 people come through. Estimates now, 250,000 people came to the Bahamas Pavilion. As of rough estimates, and we will confirm this number, we will probably exceed 500,000 by the end of this month.
Wow.
But the, today, I think, would have catapulted our numbers in terms of visits to the pavilion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what was the objective for the Bahamas out of this? What were you?
Well,
I would like
to believe the objective for us was twofold. One was to showcase to the world that we are a resilient country because of our theme, Bahamas Strong. How do we deal with climate change? That's one of the big questions that the world has been asking of the Bahamas. How does a small island state like the Bahamas survive through, you know, major challenges and cataclysmic kind of events like Hurricane Dorian? How did you survive that? And what is the story of your country's resilience? And telling that story to the world becomes very important because now other countries in the world can learn lessons from the Bahamas in terms of how does it survive given the major challenges that it faces.
So
we are not the cause of climate change, but we are impacted by it.
Right. How did we tell that story at the pavilion?
So it's been told in many different ways. So one of the ways is we've actually documented Hurricane Dorian. It's actually videotaped with people telling their stories about how the hurricane impacted them and then how they overcame. Even though they may have lost all of their worldly possessions, they are still here and they're rebuilding their lives and you know, still moving forward. That in itself is a very powerful story to tell. So, and I think, because most people who go through a hurricane would think that's the end of it all. You know, you pack up and the country is devastated. And we said, no, only two of our islands were impacted. The Bahamas is still open for business. Mm-hmm. You know, there are other islands that you could come and visit. And I think people need to know that, that the Bahamas is not Nassau and not Grand Bahama. It actually is made up of 700 islands.
There were two. What's the next one? The next, the objective for the Bahamas, the next objective.
Well, the other one was investment, trade. So Dubai is predominantly focused on three interesting pillars: trade, transportation, and tourism. Sounds familiar?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So with that said, and they took the lessons of tourism from us, and they have catapulted beyond the Bahamas, way beyond the Bahamas in terms of their tourist offering to the world. And that's something the Bahamas needs to pay attention to. I said this to Dwight before, more people come to a shopping center in Dubai, the largest shopping center, than come to the entire country of the Bahamas. That is a phenomenon that we need to pay attention to. The other thing is, more people go through the Dubai airport than go through the Heathrow airport. So what is it, the question that we have to ask ourselves as a country, what is it that we are going to be known for? Why would people come to the Bahamas? Is it because of trade? Is it because we are, you know, we have the best waters in the world? We are self-sufficient. What is going to be our story to the world? We need to tell that story.
Mm-hmm. So at the end of
because
the
Dubai is saying we are the biggest, the best, we have the biggest and the best of everything. What is going to be our story? Is it going to be the fact that we have sun, sand, and sea, but our sun, sand, and sea could be our natural resources that not only feed us as a country, but we could export to the world?
Okay, so what else besides Dorian are you doing to attract the investors? What else can they see and experience there at the pavilion?
We are definitely interested in resort development, banking, you know, and they definitely have an interest in the fact that we are now in the crypto space. They are getting into the crypto space, and so they want to understand how do they link with us in that space. So they're really anxious to trade with the Bahamas and the Caribbean as a whole. Mm-hmm.
Can you say right now whether there have been some things that have progressed beyond talks? There are some things in the works?
I believe there's going to be announcements soon about some trade agreements because we need to sign agreements to facilitate trade to happen between the UAE and the Bahamas. I believe, I don't want to speak yeah, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I believe that that is one of the major things that's going to happen with the PM's visit here.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So and at the end of the expo, when does it end?
March 31st.
Okay, great. What would you say that you would have achieved? 3 points. Like at the end of this expo for 6 months, how would you measure your success?
Well, the biggest success, I think, is the fact that people who never knew about the Bahamas now know about the Bahamas and have an interest in the Bahamas. That's number one. The fact that we have this brand recognition beyond the borders of our traditional markets, number one. Number two, the fact that we are now saying to this part of the world, you have investment dollars, we have investment opportunities that you could now take advantage of. And I think that's important to also recognize. And number three is that we now have a trading partner if we so desire. You know, we could develop our industries. The UAE is a major trading hub for this part of the world. Why aren't we becoming a trading hub for the region of the Caribbean? That question we need to answer.
All right. So what part has culture so far, before today, played in what's happening at the pavilion?
Well, I mean, I think culture, as you know, is a multiplicity kind of a thing. It's not just one thing. So the fact that we are here physically interacting with a country that has more than 92 different cultures, and that's another thing we need to learn, that the Dubai as a country has 92 different cultures in their country. They have, and I think I said this to you before, Dwight, they have 1 million citizens and they have 9 million expats. Mm. So they understand cultural diversity. Mm-hmm. And they are open to welcoming different cultural expressions in their country. That is something we need to learn as a country. You know, that other people, cultural diversity, cultural richness has been the bedrock of the development of Dubai.
I think we have different cultures too in the Bahamas. The people with the loudest voice just don't want to acknowledge it. But we do have
Do we have 92 different cultures
not
in the Bahamas?
Not 92. I don't know. But we do have different.
That's my point. They welcome. They said their philosophy is come one, come all. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to get to what's happening there today, and we'll get your views on the controversy. But up to this point, let's talk about it, the money factor. It's been 6 years since we've been talking about it, but money, I know things were scaled down quite a bit because of the pandemic and other factors, but let's talk about this journey, how it's been and how it's been funded.
So we have predominantly been funded through a public-private partnership arrangement. And the majority of our funding has come from the private sector.
Yeah.
So we have received very little funding from the government.
Mm-hmm. And had you requested more? What was?
Of course. Yeah. Of course we have.
And what were? What
requesting and receiving are two different things, yes. As you know, right?
Yes.
Okay.
All so right. Do you have a ballpark figure? Let's say so far it's cost you like $5 million. Is that too high?
Well, if we look at where we started 6 years ago, mm-hmm. we started off as in an ideal scenario to have our own self-built pavilion designed by the students of the University of the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And that was not accepted because it was the price tag was felt to be too high. So it was scaled down to a rented pavilion, which is what we have. And because of our struggles over the years, including Hurricane Dorian, we were really wondering if we were still going to be here. But the UAE said, no, we still would like for you to be here. And so they, through concessions, they actually said, we will build a building for you, which they did. Mm-hmm. We had the opportunity to decorate the interior, which they paid for. So all of what you see here is through private funding and contributions from the UAE. Now, the majority of what exists.
I just want to commend you guys what you have done. I think it's awesome that you saw this vision and you went with it even without government funding. I think that's awesome, and that's in itself is a testimony for perseverance and what others can do, mm-hmm. not just to sit and wait on the government. So I just want to commend you guys for that, to go this far without the necessary government funding.
Yeah. So what were the excuses? We know, yes, Dorian was terrible, of course, the pandemic. But what were the excuses, the government, the reasons then? The reasons that the government gave for not being able to do more for this, especially knowing that you were trying to attract investments, that there was going to be exposure to so many people in the world. What were the reasons that they gave?
Well, I don't know what their reasons would be other than the fact that they were there was funding challenges from the government's mm-hmm. perspective. And that's something the government has to answer. But I can only tell you, and I appreciate the comment about the persistence and dedication, because this effort was put on by a group of volunteers who were committed to the country. And that this is why I'm involved in this. You know, and Janet, we're not being paid for what we're doing. And this is something else the country needs to learn, mm-hmm. that when you give a national effort to something you believe will not even has no benefit to you, but may benefit your children, your grandchildren, and put the country in a different position globally, that we need more of in our country, more people to understand that as a citizen of the Bahamas, you have a responsibility to your country to do whatever you can to help your country, to move your country forward.
And
I think that lesson, in spite of whatever challenges you may face, and I will tell you, we've had numerous challenges over the 6 years, but we as a group decided this was of so much of a national importance that it was worth whatever criticisms we get.
Wow.
And we hear the criticisms, but that is immaterial to the fact that, can you imagine if we were not here today on the world stage? For the world to pay attention to the fact that the Bahamas exists, the Bahamas is open for business, and people have an interest now in coming to the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. How many Bahamians are part of the team, permanent part of the team, for the duration of the expo?
Well, we've had, I would say we've had a steering committee of about 20 people. We have a team of 10 people on the ground. And one of the things I must be thankful for Ministry of Tourism, they gave us 8 staff members to help us man the pavilion, and that has been a blessing. So because the pavilion has to be opened 7 days a week from 10 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Every day.
So it's 10 of you in total, that's in Dubai.
Right now, running this pavilion, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into Bahamas Day, and let's get into these this controversy about who's there and who's not there, and what get your views on this, and what the objective of today is, outside of what you already discussed for the whole expo, so people can get an understanding of what today was really all about. We're talking with Michael Diggis, and Janet Johnson's there as well, talking about Bahamas Pavilion and the World Expo in Dubai. This is Morning Blend Business on Guardian Radio 96.9.
Remember when we used to walk on the shore? We would wade in the water, skinny dipping and more. Ooh, those memories I would like to endure. Let's go!
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. from click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Say goodbye to the clunky, old, outdated, tiresome way of buying insurance. Get covered in a click with First Online, a new online insurance portal from Bahamas First. It's the simple way to do insurance. Visit BahamasFirst.com to get an instant quote, pay premiums, and manage your claims anytime and from any device. First for our car and home insurance customers. It's another first from Bahamas First. What's first for you comes first for us.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Penny, nickel, 10 cent, shilling, threepence, pound.
Yes!
Only big money can bring this debt down.
That's right!
Penny, nickel, 10 cent, woo! Yen, krona, crown. When I see big money, I want pound and pound and pound.
Yes!
It's time for your morning business report brought to you by CFAL. FTX Digital Markets anticipates breaking ground on its new $50 million to $60 million campus in the next couple of months and building the 1,000-person facility out over the next 2 to 3 years. That's according to CEO Ryan Salome. According to Salome, the campus, which is still subject to approvals, will be situated next to Pictet Bank. Since opening its headquarters in the Bahamas in September of last year, FTX, the world's number two cryptocurrency exchange, has hired 35 Bahamians and taken up most of the office space in the Viridian Corporate Center. Salome says the Bahamas was selected by FTX from a list of many countries, taking into account 21 criteria, including a strong regulatory environment. Nassau Airport Development Company anticipates the full transition to its parking and ground transportation operations at Lyndon Pinling International Airport to cashless by the end of the first quarter of 2022. Cashless parking, utilizing Island Pay's debit card kiosks for those who may not immediately have access to credit or debit cards. The company expects the rollout of the cashless environment to begin at the end of this month. According to the statement, the change will apply to domestic and international parking facilities, towed vehicles, and payment processing for transportation operators paying to access parking facilities and the commercial lane. A lack of trust remains the greatest hindrance to economic growth and innovation in the Caribbean. That's according to the Inter-American Development Bank. A report entitled Trust, the Key to Social Cohesion and Growth in Latin America and the Caribbean found that the region was 13% less trustful than the OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, than their standard of 42%. This was demonstrated in trust in governments, willingness to pay taxes, firm willingness to obey laws and regulations and contract enforcement, among other categories. You've got to read more about this in today's Guardian Business section. And an indicator of a strong return to tourism dollars in the country and regionally is the healthy rise in alcohol sales, particularly in the high-end category. That's according to a top executive of a top regional domestic distributor of wines and spirits in the Atlantic Basin. Chief Executive Officer of WEBB Banks, Andy Cosuiera, a premium wine and spirits distributor, says the trend in regional tourism, which has been driven by pent-up demand for luxury travel, is evident in the uptick in demand for its more premium, higher-end offerings. He says the category has seen a 13% increase in performance in the Bahamas and 30% increase regionally. Read more on that in today's Guardian Business section as well. Overseas, Amazon's British website has backed away from plans to stop accepting Visa credit cards issued in the United Kingdom, saying today that the move has been put on hold while talks between the two sides continue. The online retailer said the change would not be implemented as planned on Wednesday. Amazon had announced the move in November, blaming the high fees Visa charges for processing credit card transactions. And Chinese leaders are under pressure to boost slumping economic growth while they try to contain coronavirus outbreaks ahead of next month's Winter Olympics in Beijing. The world's second largest economy grew by 8.1% last year, but activity fell abruptly in the second half as the ruling Communist Party forced China's vast real estate industry to cut surging debt. According to official data, growth sank to 4% over a year earlier in the final 3 months of the year, fueling expectations that Beijing may need to cut interest rates or stimulate the economy with more spending on public works construction. That slump is likely to worsen, leading to more aggressive measures to boost growth, according to the report. Closer to home in your market watch, recapping trading on the BSIX from Friday, your market movers, APD Limited moving 115 shares, closing unchanged at $39.95. Commonwealth Bank moving 1,048,951 shares, closing unchanged at 286. Vanguard moving 155, unchanged at $10.01. Fidelity Bank moving 640, unchanged at 1491. Consolidated Water down 1 cent to 202. And Emira Incorporated down 8 cents to 1175. The BSIX All Share Index closing at 2,194.75, down 0.07. That's your Market Watch. And that is your morning business report brought to you by CFAL, growing wealth for future generations. And tune in tonight at 6:30 p.m. for CFAL Talks right here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Nickel, 10 cent, shilling, threepence, pound.
Yes!
Only big money can bring this debt down.
That's right!
Penny, nickel, 10 cent.
Woo!
Yen, corner, crown. When I see.
And we're back here with Morning Blend Business on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strong along with Pamela Musgrove. We are talking with Michael Diggis and Janet Johnson. They are part of the organizing committee for the Bahamas Pavilion at the World Expo in Dubai. It is, what time is it there, Michael? Is it 6 after 6 o'clock? 6:46? Is that the time?
Hey, Dwight. It's about 6:46.
Yeah. Okay. Janet, great to hear your voice. Great talking with you. All right, we want to talk about Bahamas Day. Just want to ask you really quickly. Just there's been some confusion about exactly what you did get from the government and the previous administration. Can you tell us how much did they pledge? Did they say they were going to give just over $1 million? Did you get that at all? What did you get from the previous administration?
Nothing. I think we're waiting on the contribution to the effort. And we have confidence that we will receive some contribution towards the effort here in Dubai.
Okay. So what was pledged by the previous administration?
What was pledged?
Did they pledge?
I think the cabinet paper dictated $1 million.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And so I add $1 million from this current administration.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So really that's a
$2 million
drop in the bucket compared to what was needed. So but there we go. Okay. So we've talked about what the objective of the expo is, but the country day, what is that designed to do and what was your objective for Bahamas Day?
Well, the country day was designed to put a spotlight on the country. Each country has a national day, and ours was selected. We really wanted to get the 10th, but only the closest date we could get was the 17th. Mm-hmm. And so that's today. This is the day.
Yeah.
And it has been an incredible day. We're not finished yet. We have a celebratory dinner this evening, and we have some chefs here in Dubai, and they are part of the team that's preparing the meal for this evening. So we're very, very excited. the last night we had a reception, the Prime Minister's reception for a mix and mingle, which was sponsored. And so we are very, very pleased with how things have turned out. And the cultural expression, the work of the artists that have been engaged in this process, it has shown the Bahamas on numerous stages in different areas. In fact, just today, with the Junkanoo Parade, they started out at the Russian Pavilion in the mobility quadrant and came into sustainability and on Graff Street, which runs immediately right in front of the Bahamas Pavilion. Mm-hmm. And so we're very, very pleased with the reception that we've received and the work of the artists. They've done excellent work, and they've made us proud.
Yeah. So as you said, it's designed to bring awareness so that folks maybe who've not been to the Bahamas Pavilion yet might be aware that there is a Bahamas Pavilion, because you've got a lot of countries there. Is that part of it?
Yes, certainly. In fact, when the Junkanoo has passed us by and I've gone beyond, you could hear them in the distance saying, "Who are we? Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Who are we? Bahamas."
Yeah.
And so, yeah, definitely.
All right, so you're aware of the controversies going on here, people questioning who's gone, who's not gone. What do you say to that? Because, I mean, you couldn't take everybody, especially with the limited funds you've received from the country. And, right, so what do you say to people who are like, why them and not this group, or why not us? And, yeah, how do you respond to that?
We had no, we were not involved in the selection at all. The Bahamas Pavilion was not involved in the selection. That was between tourism and the Ministry of Culture. But I will say, from some of the criticism that I've seen, some of it, okay, I get it, but some of it is very, very elitist. And, you know, we're a country of 700 islands and 400,000 people. And, you know, we have a culture that's unique and special. And we all, enjoy it and are a part of it. But give kudos to those who've been selected and support them. Don't be all over social media criticizing and pulling the country down. You know, it's so easy for others to see that, and the reality here on the ground, the response that people have had to the cultural expression that we have brought, it has been a positive one. There's a lot of negativity coming out of the country, and that shouldn't be when Bahamians are abroad. We should be supporting them. We may not agree with some of what's been selected, but you know, that's what it is. And so support it and help to uplift the country. Don't try to tear it down. And that's been the most unfortunate thing about this. One of the things too, we've tried to bring a lot of attention to this. I think Michael alluded to this. We've been at this for 5-6 years. Trying to bring attention to Expo 2020 Dubai, and we couldn't get any attention. Now all of a sudden, everybody's talking about it, and everybody has an opinion.
It's crazy.
I would just say to everyone, you know, social media is universal. Please try and tone down your comments. And think about the fact that others will see this, and others will think, but why are their countrymen treating them like this? Why are their countrymen not trying to uplift them and support them? It's unfortunate, the outpouring that has come.
Yeah.
So basically, you had nothing to do with the selection for the talents for Bahamas Day?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
Do you think this was a missed opportunity by government? Mr. Diggers mentioned the number one priority was to showcase the Bahamas, brand recognition. And then he went into trading partners, which includes transportation and tourism. And I would have thought that if we had officials up there, maybe on a regular basis, because they could negotiate. People need to see the technocrats, the people who make the decisions. I mean, you guys being there is awesome, and you could look at stuff and say, boy, we should be doing this in the Bahamas. Boy, we should be doing that in the Bahamas. That's what I do when I travel. But I think we have to take it a step from that and have people who can really make the decision looking at that, doing white papers and coming back and saying, okay, let's see how we can get what's happening over there to occur in the Bahamas. Do you think it was a missed opportunity or is still a missed opportunity?
No, not at all, because the event goes on until the 31st of March, and the trade mission that was being organized by tourism and the Chamber of Commerce is scheduled to be reinstated for March. So there is an opportunity for that, and quite frankly, there are a number of people here from the business community that came during this time, and they've been having appointments. In fact, I we've got like Ansbacher Bank is here, Gone Bank is here, FTX has sponsored some chefs, so they're very much involved with us here on the pavilion. So we've got we've got one of the realtors, Colin Lightbourne is here. So there's business people here that came for this event and are doing business. And so we're very, very excited and pleased about that. And we could, you know, there are people that we can just put them in touch with while they're here, and we're doing that. So the next opportunity, obviously, is going to be when the Chamber and the Ministry of Tourism organize their trade and media mission. And we hope that will happen in March.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk a bit about what you had really hoped to do. And you didn't get the funding that you wanted. But some of the things that you were hoping to accomplish, I know we've heard stories about things that were talked about 3 years ago, but as a result of maybe Dorian or the pandemic, things had to be scrapped. So just so people can understand, especially maybe as it relates to Bahamas Day, which you'd hoped to put on, that didn't come to fruition because of the limitations.
With Bahamas Day, we had basically left that to the Ministry of Culture to organize. Because that was their wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. And the Ministry of Tourism came in to support that. Mm-hmm. We wanted to be able to have the Bahamas performing in the different quadrants. Michael talked about the fact that it's divided into three quadrants, the sustainability, the mobility, and the opportunity. Well, today, Junkanoo started in mobility, and they made their way to sustainability. So coming in from another quadrant is a distance, and they impacted people all along that route. We had the police band performing at the entrance under the flags, the 193 flags. They performed at the entrance. So they were there today. Yesterday, the All-Star Band performed there today, and the crowds were massive watching them. Miss Daisy performed in the pavilion yesterday, and I think some clips of that have all gone out. And then you had the Shabbat choir on another stage. I think that was an opportunity. We were all over, not just in the sustainability quadrant, but in other quadrants. And so people got to experience the Bahamas today and yesterday. And no doubt we'll have one or two performances tomorrow. So We did bring a big contingent, bigger than other countries obviously did, but we've been accommodated by the expo and they've been able to showcase their talents on various stages throughout the exhibition.
On the marketing front, because I was telling Dwight that, you know, I'd heard a few of the shows where you were on with Dwight, but in terms of really pushing this, like print media, pictures of what you were doing on social media, or live streaming and with some of the events, were you held back because of funding?
We obviously had a website from the very beginning. We are on all social media platforms, and quite active on those. To be able to advertise, obviously, that in newspapers, etc., that could be quite costly, and so yes, we were affected by that. But I think that our media presence on social media and in and on the and through our website, etc., maybe we could have done a lot more media appearances on radio. We did a lot with Guardian Radio because of the Tourism Development Corporation's support and sponsorship through the programs that Dwight and I usually do on once a month. But I guess we could have talked a lot more. We could have been more visible. We tried as much as we could to be out there and to release press releases and everything. But, you know, when something is 4 or 5 years off in the distance, nobody pays attention. Mm-hmm. Bahamian started to pay attention the last 2 weeks, mm-hmm. quite frankly.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, and like Mike said, all publicity is good publicity. So we're glad to have the attention, the spotlight now on Expo 2020 Dubai. And we trust and we're working very hard. We heard your comments as well about planning and being prepared, and we have been. And we just invite the Bahamian business community to come and get involved.
Yeah, we only have less than a minute left, but you've got 2.5 months basically still there with World Expo. And so there's so much more beyond this day, this one day that so many people are focused on. What is next? What is next for the Bahamas Pavilion, and what can we see between now and March 31st?
Well, you know, as Mike said, we're open 7 days a week, 10 to 10 each day. And we are hoping to get the numbers for, the, you know, today marks 100 days that the expo has been open and that we've been here. And so to get to be able to recognize those milestones and quantify them with actual numbers. And we trust that we'll get the support of the Bahamian people, that the commentary will become a lot more positive. And we're going to work extremely hard to ensure that there are some good and positive and tangible results coming out of Expo 2020. That's why we're here. That's why we put in all this time. And as Michael said, we're all volunteers to this effort and committed to seeing our country succeed at every turn.
Okay. All right. Janet Johnson, thank you so much. This has been quite an interesting journey. We thank you for including us in this and talking to us this morning. And Michael Diggis, thank you. Great work that you're doing. Keep us posted on this because it's a lot more than just today. It's still going, and we still have a lot of work to do, but we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Both.
Okay.
Okay.
Hats off to Janet Johnson and Michael Diggis for the work that you two, along with your team, have been doing.
Fantastic.
And,
thank you.
Have a blessed week.
Thank you, Pam.
Okay. Pam, thank you.
Okay.
I'll see you next
bye-bye.
Week. Bye-bye, everybody. I'll be back tomorrow morning with more Morning Blend and Morning Blend Business right here on Guardian Radio 96.9. It's quite strong. Have a great one. Stay tuned for On the Clock with Aaron Green coming up next.